this morning's message is about some testimonies that I want to share with you this morning. True stories, testimonies that people have experienced. And my reason for doing this morning is to help increase our faith level, to bring our faith level up. Because the Lord keeps bringing back to me through the week, there are people that are sitting out there waiting for answer to their prayers. And I know I've been talking about this kind of, in a roundabout way for maybe the last two or three Sundays. But God is telling me to share this message and to share these testimonies because these people that have been waiting years and possibly decades to see prayers answered, they're getting discouraged. And God is saying, I want to encourage them. Like Esther, it was for such a time as this. God has a time to answer that prayer. He's not saying no. He's not saying maybe. He's saying yes, but it's got to be in his time and in his way. So I want to share these testimonies so that it can help bring, again, your faith level up there where you'll stay persevering, that you'll say, I'm going to be steadfast in this. I'm not going to let time discourage me. I'm not going to let time take away and bring on belief. Okay, so here's the first one I want to share with you this morning. There was this young lady who had had a job, and she had an issue where she had to take time off because of an illness. She was probably off for 2 or 3 weeks. Well, she got to feeling better. She went back to work. And in that period of time of maybe 2 or 3 weeks, she developed carpal tunnel to the point where she couldn't use her hands. It was that severe. Whether the sickness from before that played into this carpal tunnel, it doesn't say. But it does say that the carpal tunnel was so severe that she then again had to take time off work. Now she's off work now for well over a month, almost 2 months. So now there's no income coming in. She has no money for groceries. She has no money for utilities. And she didn't have any money for gas. So now she's trusting God. During this period of time, she's trusting and praying and waiting on God. Now during that time, she ends up finding out that there is a training program, that, a trades training program. So she takes this, even though she's got dealing with the carpal tunnel issue, she takes this course. So she's stepping out and doing what she knows to do. Okay, she's not sitting at home. She's doing what she can, but again, she's still trusting God because, she's taking a course. She's not getting paid to take this course. So she doesn't have an income coming in, okay? So she goes to this class, and maybe the next week or two after this class, she comes home on a Wednesday. She goes to her mailbox, and she pulls out this letter. In this letter, she opens it up. There's a check. And the check says this, or the check was in the amount of $1,887.20. It was an insurance check. It says accompanied the check was a letter from an insurance company explaining that there was they were compensating her for an accident that she had had earlier, like a year or two ago. They were compensating her for that injury. That's why I wanted to share this, because sometimes, she didn't expect this check, but God brought this check at the time that she had to have it. He could have given it to her a year ago, but he didn't. He knew that this event was going to take place, and he knew she was going to need it when she needed it. And not that she would have spent it frivolously that when she got it maybe earlier, but the point being is it would have been gone. Chances are that $1,887.20 would have been gone. So he kind of held it back in a little savings account for her because he knew this time was going to come. So when we question, when we pray and we pray and we pray and say, Lord, why not now? Why haven't you answered this now? This is a good example of why. Okay? So there are times in our lives that we go through these seasons and we need to see our story changed. We need to see the narrative change. We need to see that. And it seems like when we go through these things of chaos, uncertainty, disaster, suffering, or chronic pain, or anything financially, or maybe a restoration with an individual, okay? I mean, all these things play a part in our daily life to some degree. One of those, you can pick one of those that I just gave you, and you're dealing with one of them, right? But the great thing is that we know that God can intervene. So, he wants to come in and rewrite that story, just like he did with this lady at work. He came in and he changed the outcome of that issue before her. So he wants to rewrite that story. But guess what? When God wants us to pray, or God uses prayer, he's not only there to change the circumstances. Guess what else he's there to do? God is there to change our attitudes. He's there to change our perspective. He's there to change our hearts. He's there to change our minds. So it's a package deal. Okay? It's not just the physical thing that's going on. He wants to change and bring that faith level up to where you even trust him more and more and more. So when we pray, we have to acknowledge that we have a weakness. And for some people, that's a hard thing to do, because I can do it. I can do it. I can fix this. I don't need anybody else to come in and do this for me. I can do this. So we think, I can figure it out. I can solve this conflict. But when we realize that we can't, what do? We go to God. We go to God, and all we need to do is say, Lord, I am weak. I have no control over this situation. And you ask him simply just for help. And that the word that comes to mind with that is humble. Being humble before God. He wants you to do that. So let's go to Acts chapter 12. It says, we find that there was a change in the story here, because the believers in the early church, Herod, King Herod, he has Apostle James murdered. He kills him, and he puts Peter in prison. Now, they were the two top leaders of the church at that time. Let me ask you this. As followers of Christ back then, did they boycott Rome and not buy anything that Rome had made? No, they didn't do that. Or they didn't protest out in the streets with their signs against the fact that Peter was imprisoned. They didn't do that. What did they do? They prayed. They didn't just pray once. They prayed consistently. Consistently. I heard the other day that there was a church, and I'm not sure exactly where it was at, and they've been doing it for decades. Decades. The pastor, the Lord laid on his heart that there was supposed to be 24-hour-a-day prayer in their church. And to this very day, and I'm thinking it's like at least 10 years. There might only be two or three, but all the time, there is somebody in that church praying all the time. All the time. In fact, when this person shared this story, they wanted for themselves to see it. And they went, and it was like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and there were three or four people there walking around singing and praising the Lord. And so it's a consistent prayer. And they pray whatever God lays on their heart. So, for some people, prayer, like I said, is a last resort. We try to do everything, and then when we say, well, I've done everything I can, I guess all I can do now is pray. That should be our first thing. That should be our go-to every single time, the first time. When we get a bad report, that's the first thing that we should be doing, is praying that God intervene and change that report. So in Philippians, Paul says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray for everything, so nothing is too small or too big for God. And there is a testimony that it was such a small little thing that this person wanted. It was such a small thing. And yet, when I read it, I go, Lord, that's such a small thing. And then it made me, after I thought about it for like 2 days, I kept going back to that, and I'm going, why would this person ask for this? And then it hits me last night. I'm laying there and I'm still thinking about this, and it hits me before I'm falling asleep. It wasn't about that at all. It wasn't the item that the person wanted. So just bear with me, because the Holy Spirit showed me what this story was trying to share, it was like, whoa, a light went on. So I'm going to be excited to share this with you. So John 15, it says, if you remain in me and my word remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted you. God said that. I didn't say that. God said that. That's in his word. That's his promise to us. So when our circumstances and our situations don't seem like they change, we go to that promise in John 15, because that's what he's saying. If your word, if I abide in you, and your word, and you abide in me, and I abide in your word, my word abides in you, then ask it. Ask it. Don't be, don't feel intimidated. Don't feel like, well, I'm a sinner, I can't come before you, or it's such a trivial little thing that you're asking me for. No, he's saying, come to me. It doesn't matter. Come to me. So let's get back to Acts 12, where Peter's in prison. Okay, Peter's in prison. But the story changes because the angel appears to Peter in his cell, and the chains fall off of Peter, and he walks out of prison. Now, before this happens, Herod is standing in front of all his people, and they're praising him because he's such an awesome king. In fact, at this moment, they're saying he's a god. Well, guess what happens? He receives that. Herod receives the fact that, oh, well, hey, yeah, I'm a god. Well, guess what happens? He falls dead right there on the spot, and he ends up being worm food. How many of us would like that? Worm food. So at the beginning of Acts 12, it starts out where Herod seemingly has all the power, okay? But then here's the church. It's paralyzed. That's at the beginning of chapter 12, okay? But in the end of the chapter, chapter 12, Herod was worm food, and the church leader was back where he was supposed to be, with the rest of the followers. It's important for us to realize that no situation is hopeless. Every story, every narrative, every circumstance can be changed through prayer, including ours, because we have a God that's no respecter of persons. So, God wants us to pray with boldness, with confidence. For example, Nehemiah, he was the cupbearer for King's, Artaxerxes, I can't pronounce it. Artaxerxes, thank you. Who said that? Caroline? Yes, that's what it is. I even got it written out here slow so I could say it slow. But that king, anyway. So Nehemiah, he prays a bold prayer when he heard that the desolation of Jerusalem, and what he wanted to do, he prayed because he wanted to go back to Jerusalem to help rebuild the wall. And he knew that he had to go to this king to get the okay, because he was his cupbearer. So he goes and he asks the king for that permission to go. But the thing is, in this story here, Nehemiah prayed. He revealed four secrets to God answering prayer. So number one, base your request on God's character. So when you start a prayer, the first thing you want to do is list God's character. When you come to him, you're going to want to say, God, you are faithful. God, you are wonderful. God, you never leave us. God, you are my provider. What you're doing is you're confessing a list or giving a list of who God is. When you do that, you got his attention. So he prayed with confidence because he knew who God was. So if we know God's character, then we know who God is. If we know who God is, then we know what his characteristics are. And of course, that's what is what Nehemiah is saying here. He knew God was faithful. He knew God would come through. Okay? Number two, confess the sins that you are aware of. Now the thing about this is Nehemiah confessed his sins, but the thing is, Nehemiah was not at fault when the Israelites were taken to captivity because he wasn't even born yet. But yet he humbled himself before God and said, I'm part of the problem. I take responsibility. I'm part of the problem. Even though he wasn't even born when Israel was taken captivity. But he humbled himself before God and said, I'm just as much a part of this problem as the rest of the guys. So, number three, claim the promises of God. Nehemiah prayed to the Lord saying, please remember what you told your servant Moses. Now, Nehemiah reminded God of a promise he had made to the nation of Israel. Nehemiah prayed, God, this is what he said, God, you warned through Moses that if we were unfaithful, we would lose our land. We would lose the land of Israel. And that's what happened. We talked about that the other night in Kids Club, that the enemy just kept coming against them, and the Midianites, they overcame the Midianites, but then they went back to their believing in false gods. What happened? The enemy came and attacked them, and, they lost. So this is what keeps happening to the people of Israel. They go back to their old ways. So God has to get their attention. So Nehemiah goes before God, and he goes, God, you warned through Moses that if we were unfaithful, that we would lose the land of Israel. But, also, God, you promised if we repent. Isn't that what Nehemiah did? He repented, even though he wasn't part of the initial issue with being held captive. But he still repented. And it says, God, but you promised that if we repent, you give it back to us. You would give us the land back. Now, let me ask you this morning. Does God need to be reminded? No. Did God forget about his promise? No. The reason it's done this way is so that we remind God, but it's more for us because we're confessing out what this says. But you promise that if we repent, you give it back to us. So you're speaking out the promise that he's given. He certainly doesn't forget it. He certainly doesn't need to be reminded. So again, it's for us to confess the promise. Because out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So if you're saying, well, I've done everything I know to do, I guess all I got to do now is, left to do is pray. Well, what's that say? I'm going to handle it first, and then if I can't seem to put it together, then I'll give it to you, God. No, he wants us to come to him first. Number four, be very specific about what you ask for. And I'm so excited about telling this testimony because that's right there. That one right there hits the nail on the head for this testimony. So if we want specific answers, then make specific requests. If your prayers consist of general requests, how will you know it's God that answers it? So if it's really generic, it could be, it could have happened in a number of ways. But if you're more specific about, I've heard it said that, I need finances. Well, how much finances do you need? Is it to pay off a bill? What is it that you need it for? And get specific, because then when you see the specifics of that number come popping into your mailbox, or somebody walks up and hands you that amount of money, then you're going, well, that is definitely a God thing. That is definitely a God thing. And God wants us to be aware of the fact that it came from him. That blessing, that answer to prayer was from him. So after Nehemiah spoke to the king, he wrote, it pleased the king to send me. So in other words, when Nehemiah went to the king and said, I want to go to Jerusalem to help rebuild the wall, the king gave him the okay. But it was through God. God changed the king's heart so that he would go and do what God had called him to do. Well, first off, Nehemiah had that thought to do that because God put that in him in the first place. So if God did that, put it in him, God is going to make a way to open a door to get him where he wants him to go. So Nehemiah boldly prayed for success, okay? Nehemiah asked the Lord to make him successful. So are we supposed to pray for success? Well, yeah, we are to pray for success if it helps fulfill what God has called in our lives. Because he certainly wants us to succeed in that, right? Doesn't he? So, as we come to God wanting answers to our prayer, we need to follow Nehemiah's example. First, proclaim that God, his character, God's character. Confess our sin. Claim God's promises. Not remind God, we don't need to, but we claim God's promises. And then come expecting. That's a big word right here. Expecting. Expecting God to change the issue. Now, here's a testimony. I'm going to read it to you because I don't want to lose its meaning here. Meg had been looking forward to her planned trip to another country. But as her usual practice, She prayed about it first before she went on this trip. And her friend says to her, Meg, it's just a holiday vacation trip. Why are you going to God with this? It's not a big deal. Why do you have to go to God for everything? But Meg, on the other hand, believed committing everything to God. This time she felt God prompted her to cancel this trip, to not go on this trip. And as it turned out, because she did not go on this trip, or the fact that she didn't go on this trip, the country that she was going to had a plague at the time that she was supposed to go for that trip. Now think about that. If she'd have gone, who knows, she might not have got it. But when there's a plague in a country, you don't go nowhere. You're there. You don't get out until they tell you you can leave. So a holiday, it certainly wouldn't have been, right? It would not have been a holiday trip. So God put it on her to cancel this trip and not go. Well, think about it. Noah, he and his family were on an ark for 10 months on the ark. And now it's time, the ark's landed and it's settled there. But the Lord told Noah, I don't want you to leave the ark yet. They stood in that ark, or were still in that ark, for 2 more months. He listened to what God said. His flesh would, I myself, if I had been, I want out of here. I want out of here. But he was obedient. Noah was obedient, and he stayed there, and he did not leave until God gave him the okay to open the gates and let everyone out. So we can learn from that. Now, here's a story that I wanted to share with you that I was excited about. It goes like this. This is Abigail was the youngest child of a God-fearing family. She was accustomed to hearing the reading of God's word at a very, very early age. Her father was a close friend to the late George Mueller. Now, George Mueller had a childlike faith, and with his ministry of that childlike faith, started in a lot of orphanages in Europe. So he's very well known for his ministry. So it goes, her first childish prayer of faith was uttered on George Mueller's knee. One day while in his house, the little girl, 3 years old, said, I wish God would answer my prayer like he does yours, George Mueller. George Mueller replied, he will. And then George repeated God's promise, what things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, Abby, what is it that you would like God to give you? Are you ready for this? A 3-year-old wanted some fabric wool. I don't know why. She wanted some fabric wool. Where's Kay at? She'd like this. That's what this little 3-year-old girl, and now, like I said, for days I'm going, why would this little girl want this wool? Why? So anyway, it says, Abby and George clasped their hands in an attitude of prayer, and George said to Abby, now you repeat what I say, please, God send Abby some wool. She repeats the prayer. Abby was satisfied, jumped down off of his lap, and went to play, but suddenly she turns around, she turns back and runs back up to Mr. Mueller and says, please, Lord, make the wool variegated, which she meant to say was variegated, which is different colors. But she says variegated. So the next day, little Abby, now the next day, not a week from that prayer, the next day, she goes, her mom receives something in the mail. Not that every blessing is going to come in a mailbox. We know that. But she gets this box in the mail, and she opens it up, and it's wool. It's material wool, and it's variegated. Now, that's what I'm talking about, specifics. As she would say, variegated. Now, again, I'm still focusing on this wool. You know? But then the Lord showed, I'm going, Lord, what is it about this that I'm supposed to pick up here? And he says, Bonnie. Well, let's read this first. You see, her teacher, while away on a visit, had found the odds and ends of wool and thought her little pupil might like them, so she sent them in a box by post. Now, we know snail mail is at least, what, 3 to 5 days? At least? Especially a parcel, right? We know that it's going to at least take 3 to 5 days. But this little girl didn't pray this prayer till the day before. God already knew the desire of what was in her heart before she even spoke it out. That box was in the mail onto her before she even said that prayer. God's timing, he's always on time, he's never late. What can we learn from this story? It's the fact that we cannot see behind the scenes. We cannot see what God is preparing. But we know that he's at it. He's doing something. He's doing something about whatever it is that you've been praying for. There are a number of you that have come up to me and said, I've been praying this prayer for this person for years and years and years and years. God will come through. Just don't give up. You might be the only Jesus they will ever see. You might be the only person that's praying for them. You might be the only avenue that stands in proxy for them. Don't give up on them. Because if you do, who will? Who will take your place? Now, lastly, well, let me touch on this. Lois came up to me today. Years ago, I mentioned to her that I needed a pair of binoculars. The one pair I had, they're falling apart. I have them in my car. And the other day I was out in the yard and I was looking, Opie was barking at something and I couldn't see what she was barking at. And I thought, boy, those binoculars, they're falling apart. I can't really use those. She brings me binoculars today. I didn't even ask God for binoculars. And he brought me, through Lois, he brought me those binoculars. And the other day, I'm out in the backyard cleaning up the corn stalks from the cornfields, murmuring, mind you, and I won't deny that, murmuring as I'm picking them up. And I'm looking at my big tall tree in the backyard. And I'm going, oh, Taylor's Way, they blessed me last year with this beautiful light. They put these lights up for me. They blessed me. That was Saturday. I come home Monday after work, and my tree's lit up. Taylor's Way came and put those lights back up 2 days later. Did I ask? I just said, Lord, you know, it'd be so awesome if that could happen. God hears the smallest of prayers to the biggest of prayers. Now lastly, this is the big prayer. This is awesome. This woman and her husband, Maria and Melvin, had wanted a baby for a long, long time. I'm not sure whether she was married before, but she did have a son. But she, you know, her and her husband, Melvin, wanted another baby. And they tried for months and for years, and years went on and on and on. And she'd get discouraged, and her husband, Noah, could sense that she was discouraged, and they would sit down together, and they would pray. They would read the Word together, and he would encourage her. And to help encourage her even more, she would watch TBN, 700 Club. Terry Newsom, I've watched them for years, too. I can't remember how I think it's Newsom. But she had a word of knowledge where the Lord laid something on her heart, and that she was, and this was after they gave testimonies, just like I am this morning, of people who God changed the circumstances. That's what that show does. It shows stories of people who where God moved mightily in their lives. So anyway, this Maria decides, her husband's at work, she's deciding she's going to watch this program, and Terry comes on, and she's praying after we see all these short stories, and she prays at the end, and she has this word of wisdom, and she said, she goes, I'm praying for a woman by the name of Maria. Now this has got Maria's attention, okay? And she's saying, I'm praying for a woman by the name of Maria, and she's of Hispanic descent. I don't know what it is, but you've been praying for something for a long, long time, and God says that the time is now. The time is now. There's no more waiting. The time is now. A month later, she does a pregnancy test, and she tests, and she's pregnant. That baby was born in 2003. That baby's 11 years old. It's a little girl, and her name is Sarah. God can do it. We all know he can. We've got to stop letting Satan come in and get us discouraged because of time restraints or because of, you know, we get discouraged because it's not in our time frame. Trust God. Every one of you, I know you all, and I'm sure that there's one person that you have been praying for to come to know Christ or be set free from, you know, an addiction or restoration of a family member as far as your relationships or financial. Every one of us in this room have someone that we have been praying for a long, long time. Health issues, chronic issues, where we've been praying and praying and praying and praying. Don't give up. Let's go back to what Nehemiah says. That what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to, let me find the list here, make sure we go through them real quick here. Proclaim God's character, who he is, not who we are. We are his, it's whose we are that counts. But it's because of whose we are that we can stand there and say, I know you, God, because these are your characters. These are your characters, therefore I know you. Okay? So again, we confess our sins. Number three, again, we don't have to go to God and remind him of his promises, but we claim God's promises. And lastly, we have to expect them. We have to expect those blessings, those answers to those prayers. We have to expect them. Because he wants us to. He said, come expecting. Come to the throne room boldly and expect. Because that's what I love you. So let's close with prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for your amazing power and the work that you do in our lives, the things that you change, the circumstances. You write and change the story. We thank you for your goodness, for your character, for your blessings over us. And we thank you that you are able to bring a hope while we're waiting. You put a hope in us to bring us to that moment where we see the manifestation of that prayer. During those toughest times, that's when you strengthen us and you use us for your purpose. So we thank you for your great love and your care, and we thank you for your mercy. Father, we thank you that you always are with us and that you never leave us, and that because you sent your son to sacrifice on our behalf to bring us freedom, life, and salvation in eternity. Forgive us, Father, for our sins. Forgive us for not thanking you enough for who you are, for all that you do, and for all that you have given. Help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you alone. Renew our spirits and fill us with your peace and your joy. Father God, we love you and we need you. We can do nothing of ourselves. Father God, we give you the praise and the thanks that only you are worthy of. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand for